If any would not work, neither should he eat. Well, that's one of the passages that are often quoted from the scriptures. We're going to put that in context here in just a moment. It comes from the book of 2 Thessalonians, and it was the title of a sermon that I preached at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. A synopsis of this sermon was included in the bulletin that was handed out to those who assembled that morning for worship. And I'm going to read from the Rock Cliff Review, that bulletin, the title of the article, If Any Would Not Work, Neither Should He Eat. From the beginning of the Church of Christ, it was known for its love and benevolence. In Acts chapter 2, 44, we read, And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Such charity was characteristic of the early church, not only in Jerusalem, but wherever the gospel was received. Seeing how God had loved us and had given Himself for us, it made it easy for us to love one another and give ourselves for each other. Such it was for the church at Thessalonica. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 1 in verse 3 that he remembered without ceasing their labor of love. Timothy had come from Thessalonica to Paul with good tidings of their faith and charity, 1 Thessalonians 3 in verse 6. Paul admonished them to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12, he wrote, But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we command you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 through 12. In his second epistle to them, he continued, The charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. But there was a problem. Some were taking advantage of the charity and benevolence of the brethren. To continue to communicate provisions with those who would not provide for themselves as they could was to become what we call today enablers. Paul wrote, Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 6. Specifically, in this context, this tradition was the example Paul and his company had set of working with their hands to provide for their own necessities. Paul wrote, For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. 2 Thessalonians 4, 7 through 9. Paul had written of this in his first epistle. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. Also in this context, the disorderly were those who could, but would not work to provide for themselves. Of them Paul wrote, For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 through 11. This was the remedy. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12. Paul did not want his Thessalonian brethren to stop providing for those in need and helping each other. He wrote, "But ye brethren, be not weary in well-doing." 2 Thessalonians 3:13. It was the disorderly that needed to be cut off. And so he continued, "And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed." 2 Thessalonians 3:14. Even then, they were to continue to love their brethren, even their disorderly brethren. For Paul concluded, "Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 15. We are not doing our brethren any good when we enable their disorderliness. Rather, we may be contributing to their harm. But to those who are in need indeed, it is our joy to be there for them and to show them our love through our charity. Well, that was the gist of the sermon that morning. We invite you to come and attend one of the services that we have at the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in this radio Bible school, we're looking at an old Sunday school book. In fact, this is a book that had Sunday school lessons for the Sundays of 1925. And we're looking at a lesson of Paul's voyage to Rome. It was a hazardous voyage that he made to Rome. It was a Sunday school lesson written for the Sunday schools of December the 6th, 1925, by an old preacher named E. A. Elam. And as we were looking at this in our last class, we saw how that the ship had given way to the storm. They just took down the sails and they let her drive. They had lost control of their vessel and they were lost at sea. They knew not where they are, nor where they were going, and the wind was carrying them where it would. And so we read in Elam's notes, "The crew ran the ship under the lee of a small island called Clauda, or Cauda, and while thus protected, did three precautious things. Number one, they pulled up into the ship the boat which up to that time had been tied to the ship. And it was with difficulty that they could do this and save it. Number two, they passed ropes around the hull and made them tight to prevent it from splitting and going to pieces. This is called undergirding the ship. And number three, they lowered the gear, that is, the sails, to prevent the winds from driving the ship with such rapidity towards Staurus, or the quicksands near the coast of Africa, which they feared. This was all they could do. They then had to let the ship drift before the raging storm. The morning brought no relief. After laboring exceedingly with the storm all night, on the next day, they began to throw the freight overboard. On the third day, the passengers assisting, they threw out the tackling, that is, the spars and the sails and the ropes and the furniture of the ship. The storm continued, and no small tempest lay on them, since they could tell their course in those days only by the sudden stars, and since they had not seen these for many days, They knew not where they were or whether drifting. Hence they gave up all hope of being saved. In their distress, they fasted 14 days. When they had been long without food, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and addressed them in the speech which follows in verses 21 through 25, saying that they should have listened to him and not have set sail from Crete, rehearsing what God had said to him the night before and declaring his great faith in God. Now let's look at our text. You find it in Acts chapter 27. I'm going to read verses 30 through 32. And as the sailors were seeking to flee out of the ship, and had lowered the boat into the sea under the color as though they would have lay anchors out from the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. In order for them to be saved, they needed to stick with the ship. The ship was so driven by the storm that none knew where they were in the sea. They were afraid of being driven upon the quicksands of North Africa. But in the goodness of God, they were driven more in the direction of Rome, their journey's end. After their fast of 14 days, and after Paul's encouraging speech, driven to and fro in the Sea of Adria, about midnight, the sailors surmised that they were drawing near to some country. They sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And after they sounded again a little space, they found it 15 fathoms. And fearing lest haply we should be cast ashore on rocky ground, they let go 4 anchors from the stern and wished for day. The sailors believed that to hold the ship thus stiff against the waves would cause it to go to pieces before day. And pretending to put out an anchor from the front, they lowered the boat, seeking to flee out of the ship, willing to risk their lives in this boat driven by the waves rather than in the ship. This alert Paul discovered this, reported it to the centurion, and informed him that the salvation of all depended on the sailors remaining on the ship. Then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. This shows the confidence all had in Paul, because apparently this boat was a necessary means to escape should the ship go to pieces. "Abide in the ship," Paul says. We need to learn a lesson here. We need to stick to the church, to be satisfied with her, to cut away such boats as modern human aid societies, associations, missionary conventions, etc., and risk all in the church. Jesus bans this ship, and she will never go to pieces. The old ship of Zion has landed many thousands and will land as many more. But now we read about Paul's shipwreck and his composure in verses 33 through 37 of Acts chapter 27. "And while the day was coming on, Paul brought them all to take some food, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that ye wait and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I beseech you to take some food, for this is for your safety. There shall not a hair perish from the head of you.' And when he had said this, and had taken bread, he gave thanks to God in the presence of all. And he brake it, and began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and themselves also took food, and we were all in the ship, 216 souls. While anchored and waiting for the day, Paul exhorted all to eat, and he relieved as much as possible of further anxiety. It was necessary for their safety to take food. They needed the strength that it would give them to escape from the ship and to endure the cold and the rain which was to come upon them. We're going to continue this when we gather again in our next class.